Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good.
Can I start by saying something to you?
What?
No, for real.
Okay.
I love you. I do. For real. And I don't know where this is going to go and all the different iterations of this, and it could get heated and it could get laughy and fun, but I've wanted to do this with you for a long ass time, and it's happening, and I love you, and we're blood.
Yes.
We're the only blood.
We're the only blood.
We come from a patchwork family, fully mm-hmm. patchwork.
I like that.
Our father.
Did you come up with that? Or was that a thing?
I might have read it in a book a while back.
Okay.
Like some kind of, you know, so self-help book.
Well, there's blended, but ours is sort of patchwork.
It's patchwork.
It's crocheted.
So you and I,
yeah.
our mom, Goldie mm-hmm. Hahn, and Bill Hudson mm-hmm. got together for a couple years, banged out two kids.
Right.
Then
do you know where you were conceived?
It. London. Explains everything.
Nebraska explains everything.
I was on Regent's Park, actually.
I was in a bathroom.
Yeah.
In Nebraska.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's, I'm sure at a cellular level, this has definitely so much to do with our personalities.
Yeah.
And our life trajectories.
Entirely. Wow, that's interesting.
But yeah. That was a period of about like 4 years they were married.
4 or 5 years they were married.
Yeah.
They were divorced. They got divorced when I was 5.
Well,
right, and you were 3.
No, I was 18 months when they called it.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were,
well, maybe not like officially divorced, but
I thought I was 5 years old.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, they got divorced. Mom was single for a while.
Single-ish.
Ish had boyfriends.
Okay, yeah. So then enter. I was about 3, which means you were about 3 6, and a half. You're about 6.
6. Yeah. Kurt Russell.
And enter. KR, Kurt Vogel Russell.
Kurt Vogel Russell, KVR.
So then Boston came into the picture, and mom and pa started dating on Swing Shift. Cute story, but mm-hmm. we'll save that. That's for them.
But go back a second, because there's a really beautiful story you want to tell. Do you know about when pa and mom, when they're on their first date?
Yeah.
And he went and saw us sleeping. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, it was the first time she brought him home to the house.
Right, right.
Yeah, it wasn't the first date.
Right,
she brought to the beach house.
Beautiful story.
We were living in deep Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And mom said that that's sort of when she fell in love with Kurt, was right away, was mm-hmm. because she brought him back to the house and we'd already been asleep and we shared a room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had twin beds and I had Annie sheets and mm-hmm. you had Star Wars
yep.
sheets
yep.
and we were sleeping. And mom said he walked in and he saw us and she unexpectedly thought he was just going to like peek in and see them.
Right.
But he sat down next to each of us. He sat down next to you first and watched you sleep and then came by. I believe he watched me the longest. According to the story, when mom tells me the story, I feel like I got like I was the last one that right. he looked at, and then he sat there for a really long time.
Maybe he was just trying to figure you out. That can be true.
I was younger and probably cuter. I was like 3.
I don't know.
You were like older. You were like, you know what I mean?
I was like in my awkward phase.
Yeah, you like weren't as cute, you know.
So maybe my looks.
It was just like, oh God, he's cute.
To him a little bit.
And then it was like, oh, there's Katie and she's like really cute.
Right.
Which I was like so little.
Right. Well, he also.
It wasn't, you shouldn't take it personally.
No, well, here's the thing. He's also trying to sort of, you know, maybe get in mom's pants. Okay. So there's that aspect. So it's like, let's go to the daughter a little longer, you know, because the mother-daughter
it's
relationship.
The baby, because yeah, she's the baby. Yeah.
So that's what it was.
No.
It
anyway, worked. I'm kind of kidding. So
kind of kidding.
So
but he
yeah,
did stay
sat,
there
for,
a,
there
for long
a long time. Mom said so long that like she was almost like,
right,
okay.
She had to pee.
She was like,
she went and peed
yeah,
and came back.
She's like, Kurt, like, should we do something? I mean, should we get a drink?
Yeah.
Aww. He's like still in there. Yeah. I loved that story because she realized then, as mom says, that values and kids, family values was everything
mm-hmm.
to Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then enter Boston. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I ever saw Boston. Do you remember the first time you ever saw it? I don't think you were in the car, actually. We had the Volvo.
Remember.
We had a Volvo station wagon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the
and
320
we went,
turbo intercooler.
And we went to pick up. It was the first time I remember Kurt talking about his son. And I remember it felt like such a big moment. I mean, because it was like, oh my God, my mom's obviously madly in love with this guy. And for me at the time, it was like, is this going to be my dad? You know?
Yeah.
And I was meeting his son, which meant, does this mean that this is my brother? You know, it was a lot to handle at such a young age.
You had so many feelings and connections, and I don't remember any of this. I was like floating in space somewhere.
Well,
I had none of these
you've
feelings.
You've been floating in space till about like 7 months ago.
But it's amazing that you remember these feelings.
I have very,
I mean, for me, I don't remember.
Very
don't
vivid memories yeah. being really young. And I remember pulling up to the house. It was up outpost, and it was one of those houses that had no driveway. It was a staircase. It was one of those gates that had a big long staircase, like outdoor staircase down to the house, like Laurel Canyon vibe. And up came this little towhead. He was so little.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it. In the doorway. And he was nervous, and he had a little, I forget what it was. It was some kind of like a Banky, and it was up by his face, and he was so cute and skinny. And
I know.
And I just remember looking at him. Oh, my God, I start getting emotional talking about this. And I'll never forget his face. I'll never forget it. And he came in the back
seat. Did he
have
his like little crooked glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
And he came in and sat next to me. And it was like, who is this kid? And then we started driving, and it was just like, you know, that, I mean, it was just, that was it. That was my introduction to Boston.
Yeah.
And he was very shy at first. And then within hours, it was like, oh no, like
oh.
He's just
oh, yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
I mean, Hop, Skip, and a Jump was his nickname. He did not stop moving. He had the highest, loudest voice.
Oh, yeah.
He would get in your face. He took everything
and
out of your hands.
And he was deep, deep into the fantasy world.
Oh, I everything.
Mean,
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
He was massive. Obsessed with Peter Pan.
And it wasn't like a normal obsession. Like, he was Peter Pan. Like,
oh, yeah.
He believed he was Peter Pan.
I remember one time, Boston and I used to share a room in the beginning. And I remember one time he woke up. He used to talk in his sleep, and he woke up and he literally sat up and went, Peter Pan, just, you know, he said it was Captain Hook flying overhead, flying, and like went back down. I was like, oh my God, he's nuts. Like, this is real. Like he in his dream state,
mm-hmm.
he's Peter Pan.
Yeah, that was interesting, throwing another kid into the mix
mm-hmm.
right away.
And then one Christmas, Santa leaves a little present.
Mm-hmm.
We all see it. It's up at the
very... It was in the chimney.
In the chimney.
That's right. It was in the chimney.
And
there were sleigh tracks going off of the roof.
Right. With the roof, we were able to get to the roof.
Blitzen's bells had come off of
right?
his neck, and they were laying in the snow
yeah.
on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then stuck in the chimney was a present.
A present that yeah. got left behind.
Left behind, right.
And we opened the present from Santa. We didn't know what it was.
This is in Aspen.
It was a little onesie.
Yeah.
It was a little onesie. And we were like, what does this mean? And they're like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to mom and pop were pregnant.
Yeah.
It's a great way to sort of kind of slip it in there with the kids
yeah.
that there might be a kid on the way. And Mom and Pa are preggers with little Why Not.
Yeah.
Wyatt Russell. And I remember thinking, because we were older at the time. I mean, I was six, and I mean, older in terms of, you know, and you were almost 10, yeah. nine.
Yeah.
And when he was born, we were 7 and 10. So for me as a girl, it was like having a doll. It was like having a baby. And he was the baby. He was this, like, I mean, talk about the golden child. I mean, we all had awkward phases. You know, you look mm-hmm. at pictures of us as kids and we're all like
yeah.
weird looking and making weird faces.
Oh, God, Wyatt was so cute.
Wyatt was the cutest yeah. baby.
Called him little man.
Oh.
Still call him little man.
He was the, little, was man, the little man. And he had these big lips and mm-hmm. those, you know, paws, those eyes, the Russell eyes,
mm-hmm.
blue eyes. Another toe head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was just so cute. And he was a July baby, Cancer. And he was so sensitive.
Yeah.
So sensitive.
We I will can't wait have to get them Boston on. And Wyatt oh, on yeah. at some point.
Multiple times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about Wyatt. Wyatt might be too cool.
No, he's in. I'll make him. But anyway, Boston, you know, especially for me, he got me into a lot of trouble. Because I would kick him or do whatever I was doing. And, you know, the minute that he told on me, that was it. I mean, it was judge, jury, throw away the key. I was done for. And I got in trouble the time.
Remember, Boston was the one that we used to make ask Pa everything. Like, if we wanted a trampoline, we'd be like, Boston.
Yeah, because he would get
we'd
a yes.
convince Boston how important it was to, like, get a trampoline, because we knew that if he asked Pa, by end of the day, we'd have a trampoline.
Well, whenever we wanted something, we get together and make it happen.
Yeah.
And then once we get it, then, you know, I hate you, and yeah. I'm mad at you for being who you are, and
oh, God, so great.
You know, you were...
So many great stories.
Just
so
bothered
let's,
me.
So let's keep going. So at this time...
Why did you bother me, though? I really wonder about that. We talk about it that I did, but I've never really thought about it.
What do you mean? I mean, I can tell you this. I mean, I can spell it out for you.
I mean, I think it would take too long to actually spell the whole thing out.
I could sing it. I can get the rights to this, I think.
I think it was, you think it was?
I could definitely get the rights to this song on our podcast.
Okay.
Because he's jealous. He's jealous again.
There probably was a little bit of that.
Oh, Oliver, come on. By the time I came home, I think it's for every, it'd be great to, when we get a child, you know, psychologist, a family sort of psychologist.
Yeah.
The dynamic shifts. Like when you have the attention of a parent, you know, and then all of a sudden you throw into the mix, you know, and, you know, not only that, you were still so young. Mm-hmm. And there is something like little girls is a whole different feeling than boys,
yes.
you know? I mean, just by nature, people are more doting, I think, on little girls.
I think the other thing, too, is that I have a stable family, right? So there was divorce. There was a lot of instability. And I think that for me especially, I attached myself to Mom, you know, and Dad, I'm sure. But when you came into the mix, it was unstable to begin with.
You had to share.
Yeah, and it was bullshit because you came in.
And we forget, I mean, I'm literally, here I am with a five-month-old. You forget how much goes into babies. So you really mm-hmm. have to focus on the baby. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when you're that little. I mean, it just is. You have to, mm-hmm. you know, and at that time, I mean, think about all of the things and the research we know and the things that we do. At that time, like...
You took attention away from me.
Yeah.
In a time where...
You needed it.
I needed it because there was no stability in the home.
Right. So then you hated me.
So yeah.
Then you would take oranges and
yes,
catapult them into my
crib. In your crib. And I missed.
I know. You did.
Damn it.
We had a childhood that I think a lot of people would look at and think that it was, you know, the best childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in retrospect, look back and go, we had just a wonderful upbringing.
Oh, yes. I mean, we're very lucky human beings.
Right. Yeah. But like any other family or family dynamic, then at some point you have to accept the fact that, yes, on the outside everything looks great, but there's always going to be something. There's always going to be the family dynamic. Someone's going to fuck someone up. Whether you're, you know, I always say, like, you could be Mother Teresa and Gandhi could be your parents.
Oh, they're going to fuck you.
And they're going to, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're no, like, no. Okay, yeah. Oh, you know, God. You're going to be like,
imagine being
Mom
Gandhi's
was gone
son.
All the time.
You're like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
for
what
real,
about
Gandhi's
me?
Gandhi's son is probably like, Dad, like, I get it and I love what you're doing, but like,
what about
you know,
me?
What about me?
Yeah. I mean, what about, I mean, I want you to, right?
Yeah, please. Right? Like, please pay attention to me.
I think, but that's what I mean. So it's funny.
And Mother
because,
Teresa, imagine me the daughter of Mother Teresa. It's like, listen,
she gives
Mom,
so much to
you
her
are
her
out mom. Healing the world, but what about me? You know? I'm so sensitive with this stupid podcast because I don't want to sound like a spoiled asshole.
But here's the thing.
But,
well, you'll,
and I'm not a spoiled asshole.
You're not a spoiled asshole. Think about how we grew up. Just think about it. Think
I know,
about.
But that yes, has nothing to do with
but
being
we
an asshole.
But we were actually raised really well.
I know. I understand.
Right? So let people think you're an asshole. Who cares?
I know. Maybe that's the lesson.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it.
You're the one who called me out.
Mom sent you a chef, Oliver.
That needs to be cut from this podcast immediately. Immediately. Immediately.
It's the truth.
I
couldn't believe it.
I was
16.
He was a horrible chef. These casseroles were disgusting.
But this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
People go, what
you don't have to cut this because
what
we're
do you
being
know?
Honest
what
here.
Do you
I didn't ask for casseroles every week.
Not the point. The point
I
is
said to Mom, please
the
don't
rest
do
of the
this.
World goes, God, what a dick.
Nobody would have said that. You know why? Because no one knew I had a chef.
Until now.
Until now. You told people that there was a chef that brought me fucking
it's
food
true.
Every week.
I spent most of my teenage years rolling my eyes at the things that were going on with you. But by the way, here's the thing. It just is what it is. At the end of the day, like
I didn't
you don't really you don't have to
chef.
Apologize. We were born really fucking lucky. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean there's a responsibility to understanding how lucky we are. And I think our parents raised us knowing that it was luck, that it wasn't our work ethic.
I told the chef I didn't want him anymore. Okay. I was greatly embarrassed.
I know.
I didn't like his food, and
I have one
it
word
was horrible.
I have one word for you, snowplow child. It's a hyphened word, snowplow child.
No.
Yeah, it's part of the issue. Totes.
No.
Totally. I was like middle, and like everything was like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. You
no,
don't
but
need
you
this.
Also had.
You don't need this.
You didn't have nearly the had, struggles that I had.
I had full middle child. Like,
oh, look, it's Mom. Oh my God. Hey, Mama.
Hi, Mommy.
Hi, sweetie. Where's Bodie?
Bodie is. Yeah, he's no, he's not at school. He's at home.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Hey,
Mom. Can I ask you a question real quick about why you got me a chef in college, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you do that to me?
Because you weren't eating.
Katie and I were just talking about this, and she reminded me of this.
You weren't eating.
No, I remember.
Mom
like
was
you
concerned
got,
about you. She rightfully
the
so.
The boys, because you weren't eating right. And I wanted them to come and just put stuff in your refrigerator.
That's why you're a snowplow.
But who did you call to get this done?
I don't know. You know, I sourced things out. What can I tell you? It's been a long time ago.
But it's probably not a good thing that you did that for me, though. I mean, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I mean, we were just talking about it. It's like horribly embarrassing. That, I mean, I was a college kid and there was being fucking... Oh, she's gone. She hung up. Oh, there she is.
I don't want to be...
She says, whoops, lost you, bad area.
Oh, good.
Okay, anyway... Can we let's move on
so
from
no,
the chef.
No,
but
here's
the thing.
But here's the point.
I had struggles that you had never understood.
Oliver's using this podcast as a way to break down our psychological.
You put a lot. You want to go deeper with me in a way that I'm just like, I'm happy to go there with you. I just didn't have the same experience.
You're the one calling me a snowplow kid.
But you were.
You can't expect me to come back after you're calling me a snowplow kid. I need a retort. I need to defend myself.
Why?
Meaning that I had struggles of my own that you've never understood or gone through yourself.
I was ever. There. I saw it.
No, but you've never experienced what it's like to be me.
What? I know, but
your career, you just boom like this.
Yeah, but okay. We're talking, but there's a reason for that.
Luck.
Some.
Major.
And dedication.
And
personality.
Luck. Talent is, goes without saying. You're extremely
Oliver,
talented.
Oliver.
But luck.
Oliver. All I ever did.
Penny
was
Lane
work
wasn't even your job.
Perform.
You didn't even get Penny Lane first.
Oh my God.
She didn't get Penny Lane first.
Here's the thing.
She fell into Penny Lane.
Here's the thing. You want us to have the same experience.
I don't want us to have the same experience.
Was,
I'm so grateful
the reality,
for my experience.
The reality was is that I was a different type of person.
No doubt.
I was way more dedicated to the craft. All I did was perform, sing,
yeah.
make music, dance. I danced. I mean, I was dedicated to the performing arts from a really young age. It was very different. You were like partying 100%. And like free, you were like freestyling with like
dope.
With like John and Alex and your,
yeah.
You were like
how dope
you
is
had
that?
You had a crew.
How dope is that?
Called the Rice Krispie Crew.
Yeah.
Snap, crackle, and pop.
Yeah, so I freestyle. And, you don't know how to freestyle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not the point. The point is that what have you done with your freestyling?
A lot. I've done it in a movie.
I'm just saying. I'm saying that we were very different personality types.
Freestyling has opened up
my
creative brain.
A lot based on how we were raised. And our the experience of who we were and how that happened. That's just the truth.
No, look, I always used to say to Mom, interestingly enough, I said, because her story, her success story is really awesome.
Amazing.
And her world that she grew up in and how it happened for her. And I remember saying, God, I'm just so envious of you because I will never have that story. I almost was rejecting where I came from because I have it so easy and I'll never have that cool fucking story. Now, I don't have her story, but I do have my story. I mean, it's been a struggle. It's been tough. It's been working. You know, people think that for me, it was like, oh, you can just go do what you're going to do because of who your parents are. Now, have I dedicated myself like you? No, not even close. My dedication is coming later on in life.
Well, Ollie, you had that's what I'm saying. You, I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without sounding like, it's like, you had a lot to go through. You had to mature.
Oh, entirely.
I like came out like 100 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like ready to, I was ready to run in ninth grade. Like I was like high school partying. No.
Right.
I hardly did that. The only thing I had was boy crazy. I loved boys.
Yeah.
The reality is that, you know, Mom and I might be outnumbered in terms of the men, but like, that's some real, like, we're very outspoken women, you know, and mm-hmm. given the forum and the stage mm-hmm. to be who I was from Mom.
So what you're saying is this podcast is a chance for me to be better than you?
No, I think
no,
what
I
this
know
podcast
what you're
is
I mean,
that it's an
that's
interesting
the beautiful
dynamic
thing about life, you know, and that's why I love what my life has been up to this point, even through all of the shit.
When you said, you know, Mom has this amazing story, and I never felt like it's funny for me. I was so ready for my own story. I never felt that I wanted to compete
right.
It was ever going to be something.
Great
I was
point.
Just like, I'm ready to go live my life.
You're ready to go make your own
yeah,
story.
Yeah, I'm
I
like,
was envious of a story and I was living in a defeatist place immediately and you were of this optimism
well,
of I'm going to go create my own
And I
story.
Think, let's go back to how our experiences was as siblings. Like we, no matter what, you know, we had, you know, our relationship with our father is where it is now. But growing up, we did have
that as the foundation of, I think, what informed mm-hmm. most of our childhood mm-hmm. and most of our young adult life until we had to like do the deep dive mm-hmm. into why do we make the decisions we make, or why do we keep making the same decisions, or why am I, you know, all of the stuff that anyone does when they're at a point in their life when they say, I need a change. This part of my life isn't working. So how do I understand myself better, the science of myself better? Like, we both had that. It just is different, even though it's the same situation.
Right.
And I think that's what's so interesting about this show and this podcast is that we have the same mom and the same dad. We both, in our own little way, you know, had whatever trauma we felt from our father and our mother at times. And stepfather, like any family dynamic.
Yeah, which is not any different from anybody else, really.
Right, because everyone has a different, yes. But right. My point is that we saw it and felt it differently.
You know, we always talk about our parents and how their actions affect us as kids and what direction we go in and affects our psyche and everything else. But we really don't talk much about how a new sibling coming into your life will shift and transition your entire life, will mm-hmm. change your entire life for good or bad,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because everything changes when your world is disrupted by another entity, by another energy that is taking focus from you, from your parents, you know? And it's really, I don't feel like it's even talked about that much, the psychology of the sibling,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when we talk about the psychology of the parent, like we hit on that over and over and over again. There's books and books written about it. And I'm sure there are books written about the sibling
yeah.
psychology,
oh,
but
yeah.
it's definitely not at the forefront of things and potentially just as important. You know, because you coming into my world at that point in my life, it shifted my being forever.
So here's a good statistic.
You bitch.
Firstborns are usually the center of attraction. As compared to the younger siblings, firstborns have approximately 3,000 more hours of quality time with their parents between ages 4 and 13.
Mm.
So even when you probably felt like, because I know from my point of view as the middle child, even when you felt like, okay, well, she's taking away this, or now I have to deal with this other dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
From my point of view, you were always the center of that attention, far more than what I ever
right.
felt.
Meaning that was your perspective.
That was my perspective.
Right. Or my perspective was the antithesis.
Was the opposite. Right. Yeah. Statistically speaking, I'm probably more correct.
I think we're going to be hearing a lot of that through this entire podcast.
No, but it is an interesting statistic. If I could use my platform and we could use our relationship mm-hmm. as a way to kick start a dialogue with mm-hmm. people.
I want to talk so badly.
I know. I'm going to let you talk in a second.
I know.
What I'm trying to say is, if I could give anything back, and I think that's why we want to do this, and we're going to laugh about our child or whatever, but at the end of the day, we're going to have people on this show that we will realize no matter where we all come from, we can all sit and laugh and relate to so many similar stories.
Yeah.
And that at the end of the day, we just want each other to be there to support and love each other. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel like we can do anything.
Yeah.
It makes the worst possible circumstance feel okay.
Well, the other thing too about what we're doing here, I think, and going back to even talking about who we are and how we grew up and my issues with, you know, my success and all of those things. It's extremely relatable to other people's situations.
I very rarely talk about this, but I will talk about this for our podcast because I think it gives us a forum to be able to speak more in depth about it. When you grow up with, you know, parents like we have, you do feel apologetic about mm-hmm. a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Like you do spend a lot of your young adult life trying to reject where you came from because you feel like you're not a part of
like you don't want people to think that you can't relate to them or that,
right.
you know, and so, I, but I think so you do spend a lot of your
you
time.
And I think you and I think that's a product of how we were raised.
Yeah.
I did my best to hide mask it. Yeah. I didn't want anyone to know who my parents were. I wanted people to like me for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have any inkling of, oh my God, maybe I'm not good enough, really.
Well, it's so funny because when we were kids in high school, especially when Ollie went to college, every girl wanted to be my friend because my brother was like cool and hot. And I, that used to drive me crazy.
Yeah. You know why? Because I freestyled. So you're asking. You're at
my bad beatbox.
No. Oh my. It's actually not that difficult. It's weird.
I know. I don't know why I can't do it. I've never been able to do it.
Do this.
I have a great.
First of all, oh, your that's hands kinda, like, you're like this. No one's hearing a word you're saying.
I know, but I'm trying to get that tribe sound that's a little feels far away. That feels a little like you're not in. You're not like you're not like hitting the speakers yet.
Oh Jesus. This is not.
Oh my God. I know I can do it. It's like confidence.
We'll work
That's
on it.
That's my thing.
We'll
it's my confidence. It. We'll in. It. We'll and my freestyle is terrible.
When we do get Q-Tip on here, you're going to have to get your beatbox down better.
First of all, Ryder's so good at it. Yeah. And you guys, your brain just works really good. I am the worst. I cannot even rhyme like with me. If I'm trying to freestyle, yeah.
Me, you're like, I'm like, good G.
And yeah, totally.
Like, okay, I'm there's like, B, I'm like, free, wee, C, wee, key. There's a million B's.
and nothing makes sense. And so now the big thing with the kids in the car with me is I'm like, Ryder, give me a beat. He's like, Mom, don't do this. He's like, I'm like, give me a beat, come on. And he gives me a beat and I just start freestyling. And the kids are like, oh, this is so bad. I'm so bad at it.
But you're good at so many other things.
Ryder's so funny. He's so into hip hop right now.
Is he?
Oh yeah, big time. This is good because I do want to get some hip. We grew up 90s. Hip-hop. Hip-hop yeah. then was yeah. so good.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't know one thing about hip-hop if it wasn't for you
True.
Bringing that into our home. So, like, part of my musical experience growing up was, your discovery of music. Anytime you brought something in the house, it became the favorite thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Anytime I brought Scott Kahn into the house, that became a
hey,
part
Scotty.
Of you too.
Hey, Scotty. Ew. No, it didn't.
You made out with, you
I
hooked
never made
up
out with Scotty Kahn.
Oh my
Growing
God.
Growing up, I did not. The world needs to know that never happened.
Wait a minute.
You're not calling Scott.
That's not true though.
But we never made out.
Yes, you did.
We never made out. I never made out with Scotty Kahn.
This is not true.
I didn't.
I think. You did.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick.
That's nice and smooth.
That was another one of our favorites. Or Black Sheep. Engine number 9 on the New York transit line. If my train goes off the track, pick it up.
Back on the scene.
Crispy and clean. I'm so glad Scott Kahn did not answer.
I know.
You know, he was maybe my first crush of all of your friends.
I thought you made out with him.
No,
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
No, I never made out with him, ever.
I'm getting to the bottom of
it. We never made out. There might have been a, like.
I think you did,
Kate. I don't think so. I would have remembered. If I didn't remember, then I'm getting old. I think a great way to wrap up our first sibling revelry, we should finish it off with a freestyle. We talked a lot about freestyling. Mm-hmm. I think that
you know, it's something that people don't know about you is
there's way too much pressure that's been put on this. Like,
well, I think we can just kind of flow, but I feel like we need a beat.
Okay, do you want to throw?
I need
a
like
beat
a generic beat.
God.
Oh, this is like.
Yeah. Oh, this is all right. It's kind of fast. Siblings, brothers, and sisters, I missed the time that we were all together when we were kids, maybe 9, maybe 8. It's kind of great when it was that state, but now we're in a whole dimension. I'll tell you right now, I've got tension, but back then I had none. We just used to eat cinnamon sticky buns, and now all we do is complain, but it's okay, because it's not the same. We dwelled back in the rain, now we're here in the sun, because together we make money.
That's pretty funny.
All right, let's end with that.
See, here's the thing.
You gotta tune
Ollie,
in.
Ollie, I wish I could do that. That's one thing that
fine.
I wish
we figured
that
something
I
out.
Had of yours. The ability to freestyle. One day, I will attempt my freestyle.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's so bad.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
I love you.
Oh.
If you like the show, please tell someone about it. You can share it. Please subscribe.
Oh,
on
yeah, yeah.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Is that something that everybody does?
We love talking to people. We love talking to you, whoever's listening out there. Mm-hmm. If you like...
What? It's not desperate in the beginning?
No. You got
to
put yourself...
Okay, can I say something right now? I want this to be the thing with you and us. This is what it should be right now. Like, just put this out.
Yeah, just put it out there that we're like...
I feel desperate and you're saying, no, this is what you people do. We'll do it in the beginning. We'll do it in the credits.
Yeah, well...
This should be it.
No, but put yourself
subscribe.
In the, put yourself in the shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of or in the seat of mm-hmm. the person listening in the
yeah.
car.
Yeah.
And we're talking to yeah. them right now.
Yes.
We are right yeah. and like we're
go right, turn right, go right.
No. No, don't turn right. Go straight. Keep going straight.
Make a left though on Bentley.
But what we would say to them
right.
is we would say that we love talking to you.
Yes. We love talking
we
to you.
We love sharing our story
we
and
sharing
the stories
story.
Of our friends
yeah.
and the people that we have on the show. And if you like this episode, there's many more.
Yeah.
You can subscribe.
Subscribe.
Or you
Apple,
can.
Apple, Spotify.
I don't know. I don't know where we are, but it's
doesn't
that,
matter.
It's everywhere.
People
I,
will
I feel like
find
it's like
us.
When you have a book, it's like in bookstores everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this is.
Right.
We're in podcast areas everywhere.
Right.
And, yeah. And that we hope that that they will enjoy
look us up and
all of our episodes. Where we really like yeah. get into where people grew up.
You don't
and
get likes on these things, do you?
Yeah, you get reviews. They rate us.
We should maybe put a like button on our podcast. That's what we're doing. We're gonna have a like button on our podcast and put like
every
has
person
done that?
That you've
can you
like,
do that? Why not, Sim?
You can't put like.
Okay, don't. Push like on the podcast.
I don't know if that would be good for you right now.
I'd get a dislike.
Yeah, I think we should just leave it at just.
All right.
No.
You'll find us.
Yes. We will be dropping every episode from here on out on Wednesdays. This Wednesday, we have the lovely Chelsea and Shoshana Handler. We had a blast interviewing them.
Really fun. Really funny, but also very, very emotional.
Yeah,
actually.
We had some good emotional moments.
Yeah, we're like Barbara Walters. All right. That was fun.
That was fun. Love you.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.